Woohoo, we're back.
We're back.
What's
hey,
up?
We're back.
We're back, and all of us have good audio except for Kelly now. So,
well, I mean, yep, that's
ha
ha.
It's all right. Sometime soon, Kelly will have some high quality, buttery smooth audio, so you can hear her lovely voice in high definition or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yes, I actually did used to get compliments on my radio show. Back in college, I had a little radio show that like my grandma and four of my friends would listen to, and they would say that I had a really nice voice. So if that's not the case on your end, it's purely because of my laptop audio and no fault of my own.
Yeah, absolutely not. So we've been on a little bit of a unintentional hiatus for a couple of weeks now, but we're back.
It was all intentional.
It was all part of the plan. It's all part of our five-dimensional chess master plan to become even more successful than we already are.
We were brewing mystery.
Yeah, and the most important part of this mystery that we are brewing is the movie that we watched this week, which is a classic film.
Absolutely.
Classic film from 2004.
Once
guessing
upon
your
a
heads.
Time in Hollywood.
Yes, it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was not, but it did have Harvey Keitel in it.
It's National Treasure. You've all seen it. We've all seen it, hopefully, unless you guys didn't watch it.
I did watch it.
Like over 10 times, but almost every single time I've watched it, it just like has been on or something, like at my parents' house.
Or it was like, I feel like in school.
Yeah. But I feel like I've seen, like, many a times I've seen only parts of it.
You know, I looked up this movie on Netflix to see if it was on Netflix, and it directed me to The Da Vinci Code, which I didn't realize, but are very, like, two movies that are extremely similar in my conscience, have a very similar level of staying power in my brain.
Yeah, so here's... I was doing a little bit of reading about just like timeline stuff for National Treasure.
Wait, did we introduce ourselves already?
Oh no, we should introduce ourselves. We really just jumped right into the content this time. Damn.
I mean, you know, I'm
you guys know
I'm
us,
the girl.
Right?
You're the girl.
Kelly's the girl. I'm Mason. I'm not the girl. And this is
I'm Ivan Ivanovic, famous Serbian war criminal and or patriot. But that's all behind us. That's all behind us.
You must pay so many fees in getting your name changed week to week. Like,
it's completely different. We have a different guest on the podcast.
My name's always been Ivan Ivanovic. Are you implying that I am secretly not a Serb?
Are you implying that the Serbian genocide is fake?
Serbian genocide?
Actually, the Balkans are a very contentious topic. Maybe we shouldn't get into them. But
yeah,
I just want to say Serbians are just dramatic idiots who make things up.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. Now that you know who we are, back to So I was doing some reading about National Treasure because I too was heavily reminded of the Da Vinci Code while I was rewatching it this time. And I was doing some reading. National Treasure came out in 2004. The Da Vinci Code movie came out in 2006. The book came out in 2003, and Angels and Demons, which was Dan Brown's first novel in that like series or whatever, came out in 2000. So National Treasure kind of like fits into this like archaeological cryptographer puzzle solving trend that was like a thing in the early 2000s, I suppose.
Yeah, if you're totally unfamiliar with National Treasure, it marries a lot of the best parts of like a James Bond movie with Indiana Jones and also American history.
Also Nicolas Cage is in it.
And Nicolas Cage and Diane Kruger.
There are a lot of good actors in this movie.
Yeah, plus the comic.
And Nicolas Cage is in it too.
And good actors and Nicolas Cage.
I think Nicolas Cage.
No, just kidding. I love Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think Justin Bartha, who plays Riley Poole, it does really well. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, it's, you know, it's a family adventure film about a guy.
Made by Disney.
Oh yeah,
directed by the same.
Oh, yeah, it's on Disney Plus. Directed.
That's produced on Netflix by yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer, who also did Pirates of the Caribbean. Important note. Maybe.
Just say the director is John Turteltaub, and I just think that's a really funny last name.
Yeah, this actually fun fact about this movie. It actually won the Oscar for funniest director last name, number one.
Who else was nominated?
Jason Poopy Pants and Mason Pooper Poop Fart Man.
Wow, that's crazy that I got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, it's always in politics. It's all political.
It's also Nicolas Cage's highest grossing movie.
Really?
Yeah. National Treasure is a pretty smash hit.
Wasn't there a sequel?
It was $100 million.
There are two sequels.
Box office was sequels. About $350 million. Yeah, well, there are two sequels, except for the National Treasure 3 hasn't come out yet, and it's kind of like just
really?
On a TBD. So, you know, the project might have been halted. Who knows?
Yeah, I was about to say, though, I feel like if, you know, if this movie came out in, like, 2018, there'd be, like, a National Geographic Cinematic Universe for sure. I mean, National Treasure.
But if this movie wouldn't have been able to come out in 2018, and we can talk about it, like, but it just wouldn't have. I don't know.
It hit the sweet spot in 2004.
It hit the sweet spot of technology, I think, if that's what you mean as well.
Oh yeah.
Where the spy technology that they had was like just. Enough, like, we understood it, but it was enough removed to be like, oh, it's like special spy stuff.
Yeah,
but nowadays everyone just has cell phones, so
and like yeah.
phones and stuff.
Basically any movie from before like 2008, if like a cell phones existed, the plot would just be irrelevant.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
so
should we summarize it, or do we think that everyone's already seen this movie?
I feel like we should just go through it a little bit, or we can.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to preface though before we start talking about this movie. So I can only find it on, you know, I'm Croatian, very Croatian nationalist, and so I watched this movie in the Croatian dubbed. Okay. So there might be some translation differences. Okay. With this, there's a lot of my version had a lot of swearing, a lot of curses about the mother. And also at the it ends. I thought this was a shocking way that it ended. Do you remember? It's like do you guys remember the ending of this movie? How long ago did you see it?
I watched it as of about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. So what shocked me the most about this ending is like when the woman gives Nicolas Cage a picture, a map, and he's like, yeah, that means where does this map lead? And she says, my pussy. I don't know, was that a mistranslation or is that direct?
I mean,
I don't follow it. Doesn't say pussy in the
movie. She doesn't say this is a map to my pussy at the end.
Unfortunately.
No, but I think I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know if this movie has
subtext. Wait, I actually do remember this part. But yeah,
I think they just might have directly stated what was heavily implied.
Yeah, so this dubber thinks that all Croatians are fucking idiots and do not understand.
Which appears to be true.
Which appears to be true. It's coming for all of Croatia.
Fuck it. I got nothing to lose. But I guess we should probably begin at the beginning. You know, usually the best place to start. National Treasure, you know, as we said, is a thrilling, like, puzzle solving Indiana Jonesy kind of movie based in the history of America. The first scene is some sort of like some ancestor of Nicolas Cage's character and something about a clue and a treasure. Honestly, I wasn't paying that much attention.
It takes place in an attic.
Yeah. Well, his Nick Cage as a child is exploring his family's attic, and his grandfather tells him this story about the treasure of the Knights Templar, which the Knights Templar, I feel like, is another, and also like the Freemasons, is another kind of like early 2000s.
Oh yeah.
Session.
Oh yeah. I was trying, I remember in like 2007 Googling like Freemasons and like applying to be a Freemason on a website that was definitely not Freemason related. I think I gave them my social security number. But jokes on them.
Jokes on them because...
Because I already have a very bad credit score because my parents opened a credit card for me in 2005.
Doesn't seem very responsible.
It was not. They really put me into a lot of debt.
Yeah. But anyways...
Yeah, so basically, there's a fable of this treasure that's hidden by the Knights Templar, but protected by the Freemasons. And this treasure was hidden for America by the Founding Fathers. And the legend goes that it was hidden from the British, right?
Yeah.
Well, my question is, right, so in the beginning of the movie, right, the grandfather... has an accent, like Nicolas Cage's grandfather has an accent, like a British. Did you guys notice that? Mm-hmm. I think it was like a British accent. I thought they were supposed to be American.
And then he does have that line later on when he meets Abigail for the first time about her accent as well, and he says something about something about like Anglo, like Saxony.
Is your accent Pennsylvania Dutch? And he's like, oh no, I'm actually German.
German, yeah, it's like
Saxony German, but yeah, like, I don't know. What? All that's to say that it's entirely possible that his grandfather did have an accent, but you honestly, I don't really remember the first scene. Movies,
they do like accents for older American characters because just to feel like, oh, this is, you know, history.
Yeah,
back in history, everyone talk funny like this, innit?
Yeah, and especially in this movie that is like, you know, about the time when the like vocal distinction between a British person and American person were pretty slim. I feel like it makes sense as an artistic choice. If
not,
I
only
give...
was I a treasure hunter, but I was also a chimney sweep in it.
Yeah, and the secret lies with Charlotte, eh?
Secret lies with God Save the Queen. I'll drive on the wrong side of the road, innit?
Hey, we ain't talking about the crown, you know? I don't know what that was, but... Okay. Yeah, so then it cuts to the ship, right?
Arctic. They in the Arctic.
They do be in the Arctic, like...
Yeah, and we meet all of... I think, not all of the best characters, but some of... three of the best characters in this movie, in my opinion, obviously the main characters, which is Nick Cage, Riley, who I think might be my favorite character in this movie, and Sean Bean, who
I love the Riley line
guy.
Where he was like, oh, the sea float ocean geographic patterns or something. I don't know though. I just
picked up
amateur.
On that. That was some bullshit that he was talking. I don't know anything about the Arctic, but I can tell you that that was straight up bullshit.
This is like I love that like trope. I feel like you only see it in like heavily dated 2008 movies and also like current day Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, oh, I'm actually really smart.
Yeah, let's establish this person as an intelligent academic with lots of knowledge.
They're constantly getting off on knowing facts about history off the top of their head.
But they definitely missed out on the could you say that in English? No, I'm upset that never made an appearance. English, please. Also, as we're talking on the Arctic scene, can we talk about the Canada Goose representation?
Yep, I did see that, and I was like, ew.
Well,
but, you know, that is the intended use for Canada Goose, so.
Yeah, the Arctic or the Antarctic. It's the Arctic, right?
The Arctic is north. Yeah, they were in the Arctic.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they find a pipe there and they're like, basically they're like, ugh, another clue.
Yeah. And they find Nicolas Cage
the ship is called Charlotte. You know,
yeah.
Find a pipe there. It's like, oh. It's like a very decorative pipe. They're like, ugh, another clue.
Yeah.
And that clue is to...
God, I don't even know where they go next. There's so many clues in this movie. it's the Declaration of Independence. Yeah. How could I forget the most important part of the movie? The part where they steal the Declaration of Independence.
Every time they said like the words Declaration of Independence in this movie, I kind of like... I got a little bit more erect. And towards the end, I was like fully, just completely done.
Yeah, nothing nothing gets Yvonne
hard. We're going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Documents. Yeah.
I'll say it. Like, I love heists in movies. I like how they're so, like, planned out. And then, like, something always goes wrong, but then they figure it out. And it makes me so happy. And I'm just like, yeah, steal it.
100%. And even, like, really... bad movies, like what was that movie about the magicians? Now you see me. Yeah, that movie, objectively, I think really bad, but I still loved it because it was like a heist movie. There's something about heist movies that really just gets me.
It's just so fucking like
it's just let's fucking go.
And it's always, and I love it. It's just like, oh, it's like, oh, but what you didn't know is that like I secretly anticipated this, like, it's just always, also, I love how it just, like, relies on fucking, like the stupidest fucking shit. Also, I like that.
Yeah, like, he would wrap up the declaration exactly as...
Yeah, as a
display
souvenir.
The souvenir ones. But, you know, it's a movie and it's written, and I'm happy about it.
And this is a movie that I'm more than willing to overlook the, like... nitpicky flaws to enjoy the masterpiece.
All right.
What I really liked
so they go to the National Archives, and I believe that they just like straight up ask, like, can I have the Declaration of Independence? And she's like, what? No. And then
Is this when they meet Abigail for the first time, or is this
I guess
scene? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, whatever. They meet Abigail. She's played by Dan Kruger. What?
He's like, I'm Mr. Brown. Nice coins you have there. I'm super sexy and you're sexy.
Yeah, I'm sexy and you're sexy, and we both know a lot about fingerprints, or not fingerprints, history. Coins. And we are gonna have sexual tension, and maybe we'll kiss later. And maybe
and also someone's going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Yes. Also, I will be stealing the Declaration of Independence. At what point do they call the FBI and say they're going to?
I think that happened off screen because they talk about it in the conversation with Abigail. Yeah, that scene really, you know, Riley doesn't have a whole lot of stuff going on in this movie other than being like kind of the like Indiana Jones-esque wacky sidekick to Nicolas Cage.
Well, he's like,
he has some great lines in that scene.
To like be like, wait, what are you nerds saying?
Yeah, that is true. He is a good lens for like a historical exposition for, you know, the majority of people who watch this movie who aren't experts in American history.
Also, who aren't experts in understanding babes. My favorite lines were like when he would be like say something about like Abigail was her name, right?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, doctor, whatever. It's like, okay, let's go talk to the man. And then the door opens and it's the woman. He's like, a cute man. I'm just like, what the fuck? like, oh my God. Like, it's so fucking, like, there's so much sexual harassment in this, like, low-key sexual harassment in this movie from Riley. I think if this movie was filmed in 2016, Riley would be an incel. Believe in QAnon.
2016?
Yes, 2016, at the height of,
National Treasure is definitely not perfect. There are many ways that it is problematic, But it is also awesome.
No, yeah. I did not in any way mean to criticize this movie. I'm saying it's fucking dope that Riley was a Riley hated woman, and that was fucking sick, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's also lots of things like Abigail's character in general is just like very much like, wait, what? What are we? I'm coming with you. You know, she's like,
a bit
like codependent.
Yeah. And then I don't know when after they get the declaration, when like Nicolas Cage is pacing in his suit in the park, he like I caught that scene stuck out to me is that character saying some like so fairly like questionable stuff in 2020 to Abigail. Like I feel like you wouldn't see him saying things like Nicolas Cage. If you hold this, you have to promise to shut up or something like that.
I mean, in the creation version, actually,
the woman in hysterics cliche classic.
Yeah.
Okay. In the creation version of the movie, it said actually, shut the fuck up, you stupid. Why? I'm not going to say the word because I'm not a woman and I don't feel comfortable saying the word. But then he's like, you stupid woman, go back to the kitchen. You shut up while the big men are thinking. And then he points to Riley. So that might have just been a creation thing, but I thought that was pretty crazy that, you know.
That's Nicolas a pretty insane diversion of the entire plot, actually.
No, I think it really fit well into the movie. So I.
Yeah. Okay. My theory, you know, in the spirit of National Treasure, I'm beginning to develop a theory about Ivan's watching of this movie. My theory is that Ivan doesn't have access to Disney Plus, and that the only stream of National Treasure that he could find online was some sketchy Russian website with a Croatian dub on it that some fucker just put together.
I'm pretty sure this was the official one. What did throw me away though was definitely like the sex scene in the middle. That was really weird. I don't know why that happened. That was some full nudity there. It's a weird movie for sure.
Great. Okay. Well, in the actual movie, they successfully steal the Declaration during a gala, if you will.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, the funniest thing though is when they're doing the anagram stuff, right?
Yeah.
One of the anagrams he lists out is Valley Frog. Like is the password's Valley Forge, right?
Yeah.
And one of the anagrams is Valley Frog. And then you know Nicolas Cage makes this insane, extremely smart jump to Valley Forge, and he's like, "Your anagram machine doesn't count. Figure out that the L is listed twice. Then how the hell did you get Valley Forge, Valley Frog?"
No, I can explain this to you with all of my intense knowledge of this movie. So part of the heist, honestly, my favorite like component of the heist was the bit where Nick Cage gives Abigail a coin that he put some like UV reactive shit on so that he can see as the letters that she typed into the thing, which I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest shit ever. This is so fucking smart. I love this movie.
Yeah.
But so what happened is Valley Forge has two L's and two E's. And that's what happened.
No, yeah, what he was saying is that he got Valley, but he couldn't get that there, which uses an L twice.
Oh no, it was Valley with one L.
Valley on the screen. Frog?
Yeah, is what it said.
Anyway.
That's not even a word.
Yeah, I know. It's an anagram generator. It's just a computer. They weren't that good at the time.
They weren't in the computer. They were just using the computer.
All I'm saying is, you know, I think some of the writing might have been a little sloppy when it comes to the heist.
All right, well, when you write a heist movie, I'll be extremely critical of your anagram generator.
Now you see me three, all right?
Okay. Yeah,
what
so...
What happens after that?
He gets in, you know, he has to, like... The Declaration is, like, in a special place because it's being cleaned or something, and there's, like...
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, a fake one on display. And so he, like, gets it out of there. rolls it up real nice. And then he's like slipping out, trying to get through. And he walks through the gift shop. And the gift shop lady is like, hey, you have to pay for that. And he's like, fuck. And then she's like, and then he looks over. And it's like $35 for like a mock copy of the Declaration of Independence. And he's like, oh, sorry, yeah. Counts out his money, only has like $32, has to pay with a credit card. Big rookie mistake, man. I mean, it's a W but an L. You know, it's good tension, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so funny, like, you're stealing the Declaration of Independence, and the reason you get caught is because it's slightly poking out of your jacket.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really making a good effort to hide it. Like, it was pretty apparent to see. But the whole him buying the copy, if I didn't know that was going to happen, I would have been like, oh my god, this is crazy. Genius. But having seen this movie before, I was much less surprised than I was the first time I saw it. Still a great bit though. And then we get a nice exciting car chase, or I guess like van chase.
Gotta have a car chase. It's an action movie. We're in America. Cars, cars, cars.
Yeah. Cars, guns. They save Abigail, obviously, because she is, you know,
sexy.
The woman sidekick. Mm-hmm. And
we kind of haven't really mentioned the whole, there's like how would we even describe what's his face? The
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean as Ian Howe. So he's
Ian Howe.
I guess it says here that he's a former friend of Benjamin Gates. And he was just like a rich man who was also believes in the treasure because Nicolas Cage's character, Ben, told him about it. And so now he's using all of his resources to like basically, you know, eat at the heels of Ben's progress in getting towards the treasure.
Yeah. And he's established in the first scene on the ship. Yeah. Well, it is a real treasure.
No, the alleged treasure at this point.
That's true. The real treasure was the treasure, was the friends they made along the way.
All right, yeah.
I just like how they're bringing Australians. I just like how Australians are like evil in this movie. I feel like that's their rightful place. I feel like people are often forgetting that Australia is an island full of criminals. Like, that's its inception. It's just from like a statistical standpoint, if you're gonna have a big villain in your movie, it makes sense for them to be Australian.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Especially if it's Sean Bean, who is a great actor and a great villain.
Sean Bond.
I love Sean Bean.
Or Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
But basically, let's just fast forward through this next part. They go to his dad's house, and they're like, Dad, we need the letters. His dad's like, you're crazy, man. The treasure doesn't exist. I waste my life. Don't waste yours. And he's like, no, Dad, we have the declaration. And they, you know, take some lemon juice and a hair dryer, which seems oh too simple a little bit, but whatever. And you know, they get it was an Otendorf cipher, and the cipher,
did you write that down?
What
did you write that down?
No, she just memorized it.
I'm just like incredibly intelligent.
Kelly's an expert cryptographer, actually.
Yeah, and so basically,
right, go on. I was impressed.
Like, in the aforementioned letters, in the aforementioned Silence Do Good letters, which are, you know, some historic letters, you know, they don't really matter, but they give us letters.
They do exist, though. They are real. I did look them up to make sure that they weren't just making shit up. Ben
all
Franklin
this
did
is real. It's just
especially
like not
the map, the treasure map on the back of the Christian.
Yeah, especially the treasure map to her pussy is very real.
The most real thing in the movie.
The most real thing, yeah. And then they go to our favorite city, Philadelphia.
Woo!
And they employ children.
Yeah, this is paid child labor, but child labor nonetheless.
Paid child labor to get all the keywords. And, you know, they get, guess what, guys? Is it a treasure map? No. It's another clue. That's the thing about this movie is how many times it's like, oh, and the next clue, and we're going to get the map to the treasure. But it never
fucking happens. That, I think in some ways, then this movie is more satisfying to watch if you already know that. Like, if you go in with the understanding that, like, they're not going to get the treasure or even come close to the treasure until the very end of the movie, and they're just going to be chasing clues around, I feel like you're not going to be like, well, what the fuck?
I agree.
And why haven't they found shit yet?
Until they, okay, and then they get the and they do the whole thing with the bell.
Yeah, they get the magic glasses from the top of the Pentagon Hall or something.
Yeah, whatever. And they figure out they need to go to Trinity Church in New York City. And, you know, Ian's still hot on their tails. He's figuring it out.
Yeah, he gets the Declaration of Independence, captures Ben's dad at some point off screen.
And then
Riley and Abigail are, you know, trying to make the best of the situation while Ben is taken into FBI custody by the best FBI agent ever, Harvey Keitel.
In a cab except Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel is exempt from all hatred of the military-industrial complex. And then there's this whole thing where they're like, oh, like, we had to get Ian to help us because breaking people out of FBI custody is a federal crime. Then he jumps into the river, they meet up with Ian, and they all go to Trinity Church, try and find the treasure.
So basically at this point, Nicolas Cage, as Ben Franklin Gates, has stolen the Declaration of Independence, you know, gotten away in a car chase and beaten up many a hired hand from Sir Ian, and escaped FBI custody. So he has sufficiently ruined his fucking life if this treasure is not real. I would say stakes incredibly high.
Oh, yes. I think it's important to realize, like, I just can't imagine watching this movie for the first time. And I just can't, I don't remember.
I don't remember a pre-national treasure ever in my life.
Yeah, same.
This is like how some kids in Gen Z were born after 9/11. That's kind of how I feel like, but with National Treasure, in my, you know, it's just like National Treasure has had that impact. It's just, we live in a pre-national treasure society. We don't remember what it's like to live like pre-national treasure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I also don't remember what it was like to live before 9/11. But yeah, I think I see what you're saying.
Airplane. But you were like 4 seconds old, Mason.
Yeah. Actually, I wasn't born yet. I'm 12 years old. I was born in 2008.
I had the 9-year-old army. Yeah. All right. Fog champ.
So yeah, you know, the movie resolves itself pretty much as you would expect a movie like this to resolve itself.
There's lots more back and forth.
Okay.
We go deep into the tunnel.
All right, we're moving too fast here.
Go deep into a tunnel underneath the church. It's fucking insane. They nearly die about 70,000 times, and then they get to the passage, and they're like, fuck, it's not even here. It's another fucking clue. The lantern. And the Ian's like, tell me what it means. I can't do an Australian accent. What's the lantern mean, mate?
Yeah. Oh, I'm a chimney sweep, and tell me where the
lantern is. Like, you have to take us with you. You can't. That's the only way back. How are we going to get out?
And he's like, fuck you guys. I'm a criminal, and I don't care. And then he leaves.
I don't know.
He's like, I'll know right where to find you.
Yeah, which when you think about it, kind of a chilling situation to be in, you know, trapped in a centuries old tunnel underneath a church next to the subway. Yeah, pretty awful. But fortunately, they had a plan the whole time. The treasure was just behind a wall, and they were lying to our boy Ian about another clue. Did Ben and his dad ever, like, talk about that, or did they just improv that whole thing on the fly?
I think they just improvised it, you know? Well,
pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, because Abigail knows, too, because she's like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
you know, something like Paul Revere wasn't in Boston or something, or like, you know, something.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
Yeah. Because they were like, oh, like one lantern, one if by land, two if by sea. And they're like, oh, yeah, they lit one lantern in the church. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. That's actually a cool line of dialogue. Cause that's like a good way for them to signal to Abigail that mm-hmm. they're lying without Ian knowing. Anyway.
And Riley's all, you know, hot and bothered at this point, being like, Jesus Christ, what have I gotten into? Then, you know, Ben slams his old pipe into the wall, as you do.
That scene was in the creation version too. Him slamming that pipe into that wall was a very...
Yeah, exactly. It was incredibly intentional. I mean...
Yeah, it's crazy that the Knights Templar...
Come on. And they open the door and reveal the American treasure, which is unsurprisingly all Egyptian.
I was thinking about that. Like, how did they... So the idea is that they took it all on a ship, but secretly?
So I think the general backstory, like, way back, is that the Knights Templar were in the Crusades, and they took a bunch of treasure from wherever the Crusades happened, I believe.
The Middle East.
Like, Constantinople, maybe. I don't really know. I don't know about the Crusades. But, you know, the Egyptian art and architecture is, like, incredibly common all over the place in that whole like portion of the world around the Mediterranean, just because everyone wanted to copy the Egyptians, and also because the Egyptians were pretty widespread. So they took all that shit, brought it back to England, and they were like, oh, no one can know about this, it's too treasury, and then took it to the Americas on ships, I guess. I don't know how they got all that shit on boats.
That was like a lot of gold, and gold is heavy. I'm saying, transporting that on a ship,
hey, it's right, treasure, man.
That is true.
It is pirates like did it all the time. A ridiculous amount of treasure. Like it's
yeah,
not
it's like the mummy levels
of
treasure.
Of gold. It's like, okay, we're here at the treasure. Let's just copy this room like 10x times in the CGI, so it just looks like it goes on forever.
It's $10 billion worth of gold.
That's yeah, it's enough for 1% of it to get Riley a brand new Ferrari and to get Ben a
half of
historical house.
What's 1% of 10 billion?
100 million.
No, not 100. Is it 100 million?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, Jeff Bezos, you know, makes Riley's cut, you know, once every, I don't know, 10 seconds or whatever. Infographic about that.
Maybe that's the secret. Jeff Bezos actually found the national treasure, and that's how he got so rich.
That's the real truth here, because you know when Amazon was founded, the first bookstore.
When 1776.
Okay, so favorite quotes.
Favorite quotes.
Before we do favorite quotes, actually, sorry, I was going to tell you guys a fun fact that I found out on this little website called IMDb about the movie. The
International.
In the movie, the good guys, aka Ben, Riley, Abigail, use Google, while the bad guys use Yahoo.
Fascinating.
What do you think about that, Ivan? Even?
Yvonne.
Yvonne, sorry.
It's okay. Yvonne thinks that, you know, it's kind of dope. But, you know, when it comes to software, search companies, crazy Yvonne has no opinions in either direction. He's not affiliated in any way with any search companies. They are equally, you know, all of them seem pretty good to him from a distant point of view in which he has no stake. This is not insider knowledge, and
personally, I use DuckDuckGo. So
I also use DuckDuckGo.
Yvonne has read the terms and conditions of DuckDuckGo, and they don't really say anything. They're just like, yeah, we might take your data. Also, Yvonne has a vested stake against DuckDuckGo because one time he was feeding fish, and the fish food was actually stolen by some of the ducks. And he got really mad about that. And since then, he's really...
He's always been like, duck, duck, go away. Yeah,
duck, go fuck yourself.
Okay. Favorite quotes. Oh, my God. Too many to even think about.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I'm going to be honest. I didn't write any down. But if you guys start talking about them, I'll probably remember some.
I think one that really struck Yvonne's mind, Yvonne's mind.
Are you sure? Yvonne.
Dobrodošli. Okay. Here's a couple. Here's a couple that we've just written down. One step short of crazy. What do you get? Obsessed. No. Passionate. You need to know if Sean can catch, and then he throws a flare onto some gunpowder. You remember when that happens?
I do. Did he say Sean?
Sean was. It says, yeah, that's what it says in my
Interesting.
In my notes. I wouldn't get that right. Oh, one of my favorite ones that I did not really understand fully at all, actually. Abigail receives a coin, a gift, and her secretary's like, "Oh, you got a little present. I wonder who it's from." And Abigail's like, "I hope it's not from Stan." And I'm not entirely sure if we're not supposed to know Stan. So Stan, I guess, is like her ex or some stalker she has who sends her presents.
Oh, who was the because I remember when she's talking to Nick Cage at the gala, some dude like rolls up. And
was that Stan?
I don't know. I don't remember what that guy's name was.
And I was like, I don't think that's Stan. I remember thinking like, it was my mission during that movie to find out the Stan character. Because I want to just make sure that, you know, I just wanted to make sure that Abigail was a virgin, so Nicolas Cage, you know, he wasn't, you know, just in case I wanted to make sure they were married. I wanted to make sure everything was above board with, you know, the old Jesus Christ.
Okay, guys, I found I remembered one quote that's really good though. Riley to Ben, "Can I marry your brain?" There's a lot of Riley just like.
Yeah, Riley like, has some good lines.
Absolutely salivating over Nick Cage's history cock.
History hog. Yeah.
The scene where I don't remember what the context was or what fact it was. Oh, the daylight savings time scene.
Oh yeah.
When Riley is so ecstatic to have like solved a part of the clue before the others do, and then they're like, "Oh," he's like, "Oh, like, do you know who invented daylight savings time?" And they're like, "It was Benjamin Franklin." Fuck.
Even we knew that though. That's what's dope, because
we are people who live in 2020 and took American history.
Because we're the learneds.
That is true. We do be the academic elites.
Another great Riley line, when Nicolas Cage asks, "Do you know what the preservation room is for?" And he says, "Delicious jams and jams."
Yes. Yeah, I loved that line. That line was great.
Good line. Yvonne is a big fan of jams and jellies. His uncle was actually a farmer in former Yugoslavia. That's just some lore for those of you in the audience. By the way, if you're going to get some jam from Serbia, don't. There's bugs in it. Lots of bugs. We just boil it. Really hard, but we don't take the bugs out. They're in there. The iron pen thing was a bit of a jump, but that's not really important.
Yeah, like, that was a little far, I think. Like,
I think some of the clues there, the jumps they make with these clues is a little. I mean, I think the same with like any heist or like clever movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Da Vinci Code, I think, is a little bit better about having at least a little bit of substance to them.
The Da Vinci Code?
I'm talking about the book. fuck the movie. The movie sucks.
Okay, I was gonna
but say. the book is like.
Hey, are we cinephonies or bookophonies? All right.
We're allowed to talk about the book. It's important source material.
You know what else is important? Source with Magna Carta, and also the Declaration of Independence.
All right. Well, I haven't read either of those, but I have read The Da Vinci Code, which is the same genre as National Treasure, and I can tell you that The Da Vinci Code is a little bit tighter about the clues.
Yeah.
And the conclusions.
I forget. I was thinking of one that always a jump for me. That always, I was just like, oh, that's quite a jump. But now it's failed me.
So. Yeah, the ironclad line was the only one that like really stuck out to me on this watch. Yeah. It was like, how do you get Declaration of Independence from that? But obviously Nick Cage is a super genius cryptographer, US historian, so not my place to judge.
After I watched this, I was just like, what just makes this just like so entertaining? Like, there's not one part where I'm like, oh, I'm not excited to see, even though I know what's going to happen next. It's just like,
yeah.
That's how, even though it's not like an amazing movie, I'm just like excited to see what's going to happen next. You know, it's just like very watchable.
I honestly think like one of the nice things about this movie is how it's pretty well paced.
Yeah, it's super well paced.
Yeah.
There's a good amount of tension in every single scene.
Like I remember like that's I think that was something I was gonna say earlier is that like when they the fact that it, like the heist taking like that didn't take up like much it didn't really go past like them getting the Declaration of Independence happened so early in the movie.
Yeah.
I've been so like just so fucking annoyed if the Declaration of Independence was like the entire plot.
Yeah.
I was kind of and for some reason I don't know like I kind of expect that every time the movie happens and it happens way quicker than I expect and I'm always like okay good like keep the movie going and it's just like plot point to plot point.
Yeah, and the way that they jump locations I think is better done than in other movies that jump around a lot. Like you know they're while they go city to city pretty regularly like. They have a pretty grounded sense of like being actually just like in a place in that city rather than just like generic, like, oh, we're in Washington, D.C. doing shit. It's like they go to
and they
specific landmarks. Oh, yeah. They filmed in Philly. Like I recognized, you know, spoiler yeah. alert, I live in Philly. I recognized spoiler for the city that I live in. I recognized some of the area around Independence Hall.
I recognize
I was like,
the Liberty
hey,
Bell.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, I too recognize.
It was actually
Liberty
the first movie ever to be allowed to film in the Bell Tower.
Really? Oh wow!
That movie, this movie was okay.
I believe it.
The movie
though.
Isn't bad. Like I,
no,
I,
it's not.
I will argue that it is actually very. It is a good movie.
Yeah, although I think
I don't think
it's
like
a little. It's a little harder to identify like the criteria for what makes this movie good. Like almost there are a lot of movies that this movie borrows from that does those parts of this movie way better, but something about
like
this
what?
Movie just works. Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana Jones does the like and even things like having like although I think Riley is a better like sidekick character than almost any of the Indiana Jones sidekicks, like this you know, they have the main adventure, the wacky sidekick, the love interest sidekick.
Yeah, I think what makes National Treasure such a good film is that it is both authentically entertaining and ironically hilarious and amazing. You know,
yeah, any movie that has Nicolas Cage in it, like
yeah, exactly. And Nicolas Cage, like, there's that one part where he freaks out a little bit and he like screams, and you can see the little bit that. He was like allowed to actually like freak out, and I think that the director or editor purposely they cut to all the reactions of the other people because I'm sure Nick Cage was like looking like a fucking freak while he was screaming.
Yeah,
but, like I don't know. Yeah.
No, this movie managed to balance its self-seriousness with its self-awareness, I think, pretty well in a way that it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it still is. It's not like pure ironic. In the way
no.
that, like, some
I don't think
other
it's intended to be ironic at all, but they're, yeah.
But it embraces the ridiculousness of its
I think it's like a little campy. It's like it
recognizes. Yeah, there's it recognizes the grandeur of the situation.
So I think one thing that it like isn't like handled well. Well, I think there's two things that I didn't like. Like actually, like I was thinking about like what things I didn't really enjoy about the movie, and one of them is, I mean, I just think it's just like, okay, so we're suspending our disbelief to pretend that like Nicolas Cage is like a babe, right? Like he's like. They really could have casted a more attractive actor to play his role.
Do you not think that they had chemistry? I feel like they did the chemistry really well. Like, I feel like they're building up to it in a good way. Like, I actually think one of the moments, the dressing room scene, is, like, a really well shot also. I like how it's, you know, all symmetrical and they're, like, I don't know. I just think it's well done.
I would want Nicolas Cage, like, while I'm in a tomb to, like, be, like, come here and then just fucking kiss me. But I don't know. I felt like that was a little weird. I don't know. I feel like, yeah. I feel like the chemistry is like, yes, it's shot well and stuff. But just for some reason, like, I think maybe just the value of Nicolas Cage. Like, I just cannot imagine him as like a.
I think that was a pretty intentional choice to not cast someone like, I don't know who the fuck stars in action, like Tom Cruise or someone like that. Like, that's not the vibe. That's not the vibe of this movie, though. Like, it's not a.
Yeah, a big part of the romance is like their history nerdness.
Yeah,
like why does Abigail get to be beautiful and Nick Cage has to?
Because she's a woman.
Because she's a woman, and they have to have the female interest be hot.
I know, but I think it, you know, honestly, that's a good point. I think
name one movie that has an ugly female love interest.
When Harry Met Sally.
What?
I have no idea what that movie is about.
You think Meg Ryan is ugly?
I've never seen that movie. I was doing a Hail Mary moment.
Well, it was a gamble, and
it did not pay off.
It did not.
Yeah. Okay,
no, you're definitely right.
Though, clearly, probably. I'm willing to defend National Treasure at any negative thing.
Yeah, like I think that while other movies have done other parts of, like most of the components of National Treasure better, that's not to say that National Treasure is bad at doing any of those things. Like, National Treasure accomplishes pretty much everything I think it set out to do, which is be fun and engaging.
I mean, I think National Treasure just can't be. It's just like, I don't know. It does everything well. But like, again, what I didn't like was the, and this is the second thing I didn't like with the script. It's just like, I don't like it when writers write about shit they don't know anything about. And it feels like that's what they did with history. Like, I feel like it's just, although fortunate, you know, it's like if writers do write about things they know about, you get 1,000 screenplays about like a lonely writer in a fucking like Starbucks writing this next big screenplay or whatever. But like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't feel like there was a lot of history nerds on this.
Really?
I just didn't feel like.
They have to balance it with that this is a $100 million budget movie. That like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like, it's exactly. Not like they reference things that are pretty, like, you know, I don't know them.
You know? Like,
the
fucking letters, like that shit, that, although granted, like a lot of, I kind of see what you mean, where it's like a lot of these clues and locations are not necessarily, I don't know, it just kind of seems like they maybe just went through American history and just picked out a couple of things without really looking too much into actually what they were, but I don't think they really needed to for them to like serve their purpose in the plot.
I mean, I don't know. It was just like, I just like I think the big thing was like how they jumped, like they get a small clue and they jumped to like this wild conclusion when you could have jumped to like 3 different other conclusions from that same data. Like, if like with like the knowledge of American, like if you do like a deep dive on American history and you do a scholarly dive and you get like, you say, okay, you get this clue, I think there'll be 3 valid interpretations of the equal value. And that's, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's obviously not interesting. That's like would not be an interesting movie at all, which is something that I didn't, like, I just personally just think, I mean, that just rubs me the wrong way. But
yeah, that's fair.
Kelly, I'm going to make sure I want you to know this. I think this movie fucking rocks. Because I can see you getting angry. I can see. Guys, for those
I'm not getting angry. I just am like, I don't know. I think it's hard to fail a script for, you know, finding elements to make the plot work. Like, I feel like that's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I don't think this movie could have done any other way. I just think that's why, like, my, I think it was maybe my personal, like, beef with the genre. in general.
That's fair. I would actually be really curious to hear someone actually very knowledgeable about that period of American history, like, talk about this movie, like, accepting the obvious, like, bullshit, like Ben Franklin's magic glasses and the Templar treasure. Like, I would like to know what an actual academic historical perspective on these things is.
Special guest on the Cinephonies, Benjamin Franklin. We're getting George Washington on here.
Yeah, we'll bring back the founding fathers from the dead and ask them about their secret treasure in the Declaration of Independence.
Also, they never touched on slavery in this movie. Just saying.
Yeah, they don't talk about slavery
There are also no people of color in the cast, are there?
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess not.
The kid is.
Oh yeah, that's true. They did pay a little black child
security.
A couple bucks.
Yeah, one of Ian's guys is also black, but he doesn't really have any lines of
security. Yeah, none of the mains.
And also that line, they were like, how was this built? How was this mysterious thing built? I was like, oh, the same way anything was built. And then they cut the tension with the aliens, but the real answer there was like slaves.
That's interesting.
Periods, like, you know, the same way the pyramids were built. Horrible mistreatment, abuse of slave labor.
I wonder if they wrote that line just as set up for the alien joke, or if they were like,
I feel like
trying to throw a nod to. Like,
I don't think
know.
The slavery thing was gonna. I didn't even really honestly notice that slavery connection until we started talking about it on the cast and the pod. Pod Save Cinema. Oh, we should have gone with that, bro.
A little touch that we will talk about that is a topical news in the cinema world.
Please go on.
What, you guys don't know?
No. Just because I'm on a podcast about movies doesn't mean I follow the cinema world.
Okay, well, Warner Brothers, you didn't hear about this, that Warner Brothers is going to be putting out all of their movies for 2021 in theaters simultaneously on HBO Max.
But only for a month, right? Only for a month on HBO Max.
In theaters or, oh, interesting.
Well, but still the release dates are... day and date is what it's called in the biz.
In the biz. I love movies.
In the biz, day and date. And so basically Warner Brothers is like, fuck you, movie theaters. And but I'm still excited to pay $60 for a bag of popcorn in 2021. Will you guys be returning to go to the movie theater?
Oh, I cannot wait.
Yeah. I will. Whenever that's I don't know. I feel like I don't really see
movies.
I will.
Bon, I'll say it. I don't believe him. What's the last movie that you guys saw in theaters?
Does a drive-in count? Well, if a drive-in counts, then I saw Tenet. Drive-in.
In a real theater.
In a real theater? Oh, God.
Yeah, Mason and I both saw it in a drive-in.
Yeah, at the same time, actually.
Actually, at the same time. We weren't together.
In the same car.
In the same car.
We didn't go there together, though. I walked. before Tenet, when did Star Wars Episode 9 come out? Actually,
November
I have to.
2019.
November 2019.
Or yeah, December? I don't know.
It was December. Okay. I think that was probably the last one that I saw in theaters.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. The last movie I saw in theaters. Oh fuck! January 1st, 2020.
Wow.
Bombshell. That movie fucking sucked so bad.
I agree. That movie sucks. Much.
It's like they watched the big.
And people were like, "Oh my god, it was so good!" I'm like, "How do you make this movie that's about the sexual assault of these three women about what's his face, the fucking scumbag? Like he was the main character." Yeah. Anyway, it wasn't about Murdoch.
No, not Murdoch. Yeah, sorry. Whatever.
What's his name? Who cares? Anyway, the last movie that I saw was Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So They'll return someday. Yeah. Okay.
Until then.
Until then, guys. For,
watching movies digitally.
Yeah. But there's more movies to come. We're going on a little Nick Cage binge here. So get excited for that. I'm going to go.
Yeah, it's Nick Cage season.
Next week, we're going with The Wicker.
The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man.
Have you guys seen Wicker Man?
I have not seen Wicker Man.
Nope. Nor have I. I know almost nothing about it.
Blind.
The only thing I know about Wicker Man is the bees. That's where the bees
are. Yeah, I do know about the bees, and I know that Nick Cage is fucking crazy in it.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see a different side of Nick Cage than National Treasure. Well, yeah. I don't know how different. I guess we'll see how different.
Wait, actually, I'm curious. What are the consensus ratings on National Treasure?
So, critics did not like it. It has like a 50% on Metacritic, which is crazy to me.
It has a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. But yeah, it's not amazing. But, you know, National Treasure is made for our hearts, not for our minds. And
I agree.
Wait, Kelly, you gave this 3 stars on November 26th, 2020. 2020. So you watch it pretty recently too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that 3 stars, I'm saying like it's worth 3 stars, but it's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So I can't give it 5 stars. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that National Treasure. If you don't
I'm not gonna sit here and explain my Letterboxd rating. If you wanna follow me on Letterboxd, I don't remember what my username is.
Kelly Huang, I think.
Oh, it's my name. KellyHuang. Okay, we need to stop this because this podcast is going to be 40,000 years long. I'm Kelly.
I'm still Mason.
And I'm Ivan Ivanovich.
Ivan Ivanovich. Okay.
And this has been Cinephonies. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Catch us. Hello. Wait, hold on. We got to plug. We got to plug our shit. What shit do we have to plug?
you can listen to us on Spotify and a bunch of other platforms.
Yeah, maybe we'll make a Twitter or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.